Ben Wynn, I'm one of the hosts of Steamboat Wookiee, the official, unofficial Disney Star Wars podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my buddies,
rolling along, Chaz Kaufman,
and
Emmy Panzica.
How's it going, guys?
Pretty good. Trying to keep warm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Winter is coming. It's technically still autumn, but it's,
so
it got cold
Rogue
real
One.
Fast. It's yeah. Snowing. And so is Rogue One. Oh, what a joyous time of year it is. I'm
Yay.
So excited.
'Tis the season.
2016's had some rough moments, but it's going to end on a high note. Speaking of movies in theater, have any of you guys seen Moana yet? I have not.
I have not.
I have.
Now, Chaz, we were supposed to have a hot date to Moana. You decided to fool around
I
and
just,
go see Moana. Did you go by your was it by yourself or was it a younger, hotter podcast host?
Persona
I just need
non
to know.
Grata, just me.
Just you.
Just,
some alone time.
I just
okay.
To
that's
treat
different.
Myself.
That's not cheating.
You know what, Ben? I'll happily be your second choice.
Right. Good. Good. Because I really want to see it. Tell me
too.
Some stuff. Don't you dare spoil anything. But tell me what you thought about it and be honest.
Oh, it was a beautiful film. Really beautiful, gorgeous visuals. The story is pretty amazing. I liked it a lot. I would say the only thing that felt weak to me was just there's no like strong centralized villain. Just like classic Disney style.
Okay,
like
there's no Ursula. There is no Hades.
There is just
Ooh,
kind
that's
of
a little disappointing.
It's more about the mythology and the mythology of the Pacific Islanders.
Sure.
Really don't have like a big villain.
Okay.
And so it has like little like she's on a quest to return something, and she needs the help of the Rock's character Maui, who's sort of this Herculean demigod of the Pacific Oceans,
right.
Shapeshifter.
Tight casting.
Yeah, yeah. But it's got some amazing music by
Lin-Manuel Miranda. Right?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
And oh wow!
Did that? Yeah, yeah. And so like all the music's really it's different from the usual Disney fare. Like, it's kind of got his style. It's not quite rap. There is one song, though, actually, sung by Flight of the Conchords' Jermaine Clement.
Oh.
No way.
That he's one of the many villain characters who's this giant crab with, like, all of these shiny treasures on his back. Yeah, a little bit of rapping, a little bit of singing.
Wow.
He's a crapper?
Oh, it's
a rapper? Crabber?
Oh,
crab
yeah, yeah. He's like a giant crab like Sebastian, and even there's a reference toward
it.
It
would not
point.
Be a
oh,
podcast
nice.
Without Ben making a dad joke.
Oh, yeah. But,
right on. So,
but
so
yeah. Oh, it steals.
You definitely recommend it.
The show. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Definitely check it out.
Well, I am going to see it eventually.
Yeah, it's
not yet.
It's just more of a
maybe
strong.
Right after this.
Yeah. It's
without
more
you. Without you, you home wrecker.
It's fine. I'm fine.
Yeah, wow.
Well, cool. I'm not, so. No, we are getting closer and closer to Rogue One. For this podcast, we are going to be starting to talk about the 2008 Clone Wars television series from the Cartoon Network. But today we decided that we're only going to talk about one particular episode, whereas we're normally going to talk about several episodes. Mm. And the main reason being is that we know that with Rogue One coming up, we're going to get a little bit sidetracked for a minute and be talking Rogue One. So
yeah.
We don't want to dive too far into Clone Wars, and there's a bunch of sets of episodes that are either two or three episodes that all kind of form one story arc,
mm-hmm.
and the very first episode
like
happens to be much... Yeah, yeah, exactly. But this first episode happens to stand alone on its own a bit. Really quick, while we are talking Rogue One, who's got tickets? You guys ready to...
Literally bought mine before we started.
Right on, right.
In the process.
Chazwick?
In the process.
In the process. But you are going to see it, right?
Of course.
Yeah, okay, you're kicked off the podcast if you don't, so...
Hey,
you know, there's
since
that going
it
on.
Is the season, I was curious, will we be doing a Star Wars holiday special?
I think we should. I've never seen it. It is shot out of the canon. Well, like way out of the canon. I don't think they ever even put it in the canon.
Yeah, I don't think it was ever, ever a member.
But I would like, have you ever watched it?
I've
seen moments of it. I've never seen it.
I watched the first 10 minutes, and it's like,
right.
I won't spoil anything.
It is decided.
Yes.
It is decided. We will be doing the Star Wars Holiday Special. Yet another
a
reason.
A special out of the canon
not
episode.
Jump in yet. Yeah, we'll shoot it out of the canon.
What were you saying
together.
About 2016 ending well?
Yeah. You know what? We'll let it go out. We'll do it for Bowie. We'll do it
yes,
for Bowie.
Yes, for Bowie.
Yeah. Bowie.
So we are getting ready for Rogue One. It's going to be awesome. I'm sure we will do an episode, possibly even two episodes, just about our initial feelings about Rogue One before we then eventually revisit it for the purpose of speaking about the canon. But before we get to that, we are talking about the very first episode of the 2008 Clone Wars series. It is entirely available on Netflix, as we've said. You should check it out and watch it along with us. But if you don't, I can't stress enough, we don't want this podcast to be alienating to people who are casual Star Wars fans and even to people who are straight up not Star Wars fans. We're going to try to keep our banter as such. You can enjoy it regardless, and this way you can think of this as like, oh man, now I can actually join my nerdy girlfriend when she talks to her friends about Star Wars, and I can interject with like some weird little trivia stuff because I listen to that great podcast.
Because if I don't listen to the person that I care about, I'm going to listen to random strangers on the internet.
Exactly. Yes. Tis the season.
Tis the season.
So let's get on and play everybody's favorite game, Who Dat Droid? All right. So Who Dat Droid is the game where I name droids, alien species, specific characters, etc. from the Star Wars universe, and you guys jump in and say who that droid is, or who that alien is, what that person's name is. All right? As always, we've got a running score going on. Guest, Emmy, and Chaz. Guest currently has 3 points. We need to get another guest in here sometime, you guys. Yeah. It's not been fair. It's just been you two just running the score up.
Battling it out.
We've got Emmy with 5 points. And for the first time ever, Chaz enters with the lead at 6. All right. So as always, we're going to do our homemade buzzers. Chaz, you coming in with a really gargly Chewbacca. Ill. Chewbacca's ill, apparently, today. And Emmy.
Hootimi.
All right. Here we go. So she was introduced in the 2008 Clone Wars film, but we haven't seen a whole lot of her. We get a little bit more of her tonight. She is Count Dooku's apprentice. What is her name?
Hootimi.
Emmy? Asajj the Ventress.
Asajj Ventress, yes, that's correct.
Yeah.
Asajj Ventress is his apprentice, the awesome dual red lightsaber wielding chick who is awesome. She's great. We're going to learn more about her. She's fantastic. She's also the main character of this book I'm reading, Dark Disciple, that we're going to get to eventually.
Quite, yeah. Quite,
all right. Yes. So this episode, Ambush, takes place on a moon orbiting what planet?
Oh.
It's the home of Watto's people from episode 1. Toydaria.
Toydaria.
Oh, well, my God. We suck.
Well, I was going to... I guess I didn't
remember,
correlate.
Remember, the planets are never too smart for you. Like, if they're, like, Rhodians, it's Rhodia. If they're Huts, it's Nalhutta.
So they're the Toygarians, yes.
Toygarians?
Toydarians.
Toydarians. Oh, God.
Troglodytes. What? So, okay.
Toys R Us.
The Toys R Us. Yeah, that's true. That is funny that, like, there are these little action figure people and they're named the Toydarians. I would guess, actually, inadvertently.
That's actually pretty hilarious.
So, because that's one of the biggest criticisms of Star Wars is that all the alien species were all just created just to sell more toys. And they were like, we need one more. How about the Toydarians? All right.
I'll
so, Count Dooku is trying to sway the king of the Toydarians. What is his name?
Patini.
Kuntunku?
Yes. King Kuntunku. All right, so Chaz, you have already been passed up. I'm sorry, you had the lead for one episode. It'll happen again someday. Emmy, you are now in the lead with 7 points. Chaz with 6, and
so
Guest
close.
With 3. All right,
so close.
So,
I paid special attention to his name because I literally paused it and was like, "What did they just say?" It sounds like
that sounds like gibberish. And they're
I
like,
did
well,
too.
Wait, Ben's gonna pick that as a Who Dat Droid question.
I know. I was like, it kind of sounds like somebody sneezed his name. I should probably figure out what his name is.
I'm sorry. I watched the episode, and then I drove here, and my brain was too focused on the road to keep it in my mind.
Right. Blame safety, Chaz.
Jeez.
So we are now moving on to episode 1 of season 1, Ambush. And something that I'm going to be doing that you guys don't know yet, at the beginning of every episode of the Clone Wars series, there's a little statement up front that's like a little bumper sticker statement, like, band together and you'll live longer. So I'm going to start our recap of each episode with Yoda fortune cookies. All right. So everybody loves listening to people eat on microphone, right? Well, what I'm going to do.
Our ASMR fans are so grateful, Ben.
Oh, yeah.
So grateful.
I'm going to put a whole fortune cookie in my mouth.
The subtle sounds of chewing.
And then read you the fortune in Yoda's voice. All right.
Can you do it with a dry mouth?
Highly regarded, your thoughts are. So that's our first instance of Yoda fortune cookies.
I love it.
Might come up with a better name at some point in time. And I might have to have a spit cup next time. But my mouth's real dry right now. Hold on. Okay, speaking to you. Somebody else talk first.
Yeah, wait. So it starts off with those like bumper sticker statements. Today's was great leaders inspire great work or something like that.
Which is totally appropriate because that is absolutely the premise of this episode. This episode shows us something that I really missed in the prequel movies. It shows us what it looks like when a Jedi is leading clone troopers and more importantly, actually teaching them. Yeah. So I've got the Blu-ray of the whole Clone Wars series and I listened to the special features and Dave Filoni, the creator, and Henry Gilroy, one of the executive producers, a very involved dude, they said that they deliberately wanted the scene in this where Yoda is talking to the clones in the cave to look like the scene in episode 5 where Luke and Yoda are talking in his kind of cave house thing.
That makes sense.
And it looks so much like it. It very much visually jives with it. It kind of visually rhymes. And it totally makes sense that that's what they were trying to accomplish. So the elevator pitch of this episode is Yoda and some clone troopers are flying near Toydaria because they know that Count Dooku is trying to recruit the Toydarians to the Separatist army, and the Republic wants to get them on their side first.
Yeah.
There's a, you know, who are they going to go to the dance with situation.
Yeah. And Dooku's manipulating events before the Jedi come
in. Exactly. Yeah. And so they crash land, and Yoda ends up getting cornered by a bunch of battle droids and ends up having all of the troopers he's with get killed off except for three. So it's Yoda and three troopers trapped in a cave, and they have to somehow beat an entire army of the droid Separatist army, which is a pretty cool premise right off the bat, and I think this episode totally lands. What do you guys think about this episode? What are some things that you thought were cool? What'd you like? What did you not like?
You know, for not having actually I've seen episodes of the show, but finally start from the beginning, I liked it a lot more, and I think approaching it as a TV series now instead of, I wouldn't say not as part of the canon, but now that like it's a format for kids and stuff like that, the way the story's told, I liked.
I agree with that, and it's interesting you said for kids. There was a moment that I think might have been a cringy moment for me in episode 2 that instead I laughed out loud and loved, where there is a droid in the top of a tank that knows that Yoda is about to cut his head off, and he goes, "No, I just got promoted." And then Yoda slashes his head off.
Yeah.
And it's unfair. But when I'm watching the live action Star Wars movies, that exact line probably makes me go like,
yeah.
But when I'm watching this, I'm like, that's really funny. And I really actually enjoy it. Emmy, how did you feel about this episode?
I have mixed feelings. Like, I definitely, like, overall enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
I have weird feelings about it, though, and I think what it kind of came down to is, like, I spent a lot of time trying to wrap my head around the animation style, and I kind of realized exactly what it's like. The animation style is exactly like a cutscene in a video game. Like, constantly. It's like a constant, like, you are in a cutscene in a video game. And then that, like, once I kind of was like, okay, that's what, like, the whole time I was like, what is this reminding me of? I'm struggling to wrap my head around the style with this animation.
Yeah. This is the Cartoon Network series. This is before Disney. And Disney has a certain methodology. Like you said, this is, there's not motion capture involved with this. It's just like the movie was. And also, the rules of physics with cartoons are a little bit different. Like with 2D, you can a little bit be a little bit more bouncy and flowy, and these are definitely more stiff and puppet like.
Yeah, so that was a little strange to wrap my head around.
Yeah,
at first.
I would say if anything, Yoda, but I think they're better. They got better at moving the camera and having better angles than they did, and like having a better atmosphere.
Then
the movie, and
the 2008 movie, the last episode.
Yeah, it was very stiff in a lot of ways, and like you said, the stiffness of the characters is still there, but it's improved.
Yes.
But the way that they choose shots and angles are definitely more dynamic.
Yeah.
I would say also for my thing, I guess Yoda being this, the difference between crippled Yoda and then fast moving warrior Yoda. So I don't know if the implication is that he's basically using the Force to enhance his own movements. I'm not quite sure. I mean, he's 800 years old.
Well, when I see Yoda, I I feel like he of the Jedi Masters is the most in touch with the Force.
Yeah, and
like that's his
Dave
thing.
Dave Filoni explained it as saying that they view Yoda as somewhat of a trickster character, and that he might actually they were trying to justify it. They were given an impossible task of
that
trying to justify it, and that their idea was that maybe if he's such a trickster, which we do see proof of throughout canon,
in the original trilogy,
he thinks it's funny that he is this slow-moving little old man that, when push comes to shove, can switch it on and go crazy.
Yeah.
And that maybe he personally finds humor in that. And I buy that answer. I like that answer.
I do, too.
No, it works for me in the sense of the original trilogy. That's exactly what he is.
Yeah.
Now, prequels make him a lot more somber, and then it just doesn't feel like... We just watched Attack of the Clones, so it just doesn't feel like it's
I guess that's
just
what I'm saying. They are given the impossible task of balancing those two things
those
together.
Yeah.
And their answer was, he's more like he is in the original trilogy, but we have to somehow explain why he also is able to bounce around in episode two.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
I really
feel like he has a sense of comedy.
And he has the clever trick where he meditates and he uses his mind abilities to the Jedi Force. The Force is the word I'm looking for. To turn the robots around and have one attacking all
the others.
Oh,
that was awesome.
That's
he
really
lifts this
cool
battle
moment.
Droid up in the air and it's like firing nonstop and he spins it in the air like a top and just has it blast all these droids. And there's that moment where he goes out and sits down in the middle of the road like a monk that's about to set himself on fire.
Yeah.
And is just like, come at me, droids.
Yeah, I think the Clone Wars is taking... Okay, sorry. The Genndy Tartakovsky series. But it's just taking where they did with that series where they're taking these episodes to highlight different attributes of different Jedis, which is great. Like, it highlights Yoda's strengths in the episode that we never got to see in the prequels.
Right. The way that Yoda uses the Force like he's a puppet master.
It's a chess game, really, between him and Dooku.
I really feel like they did a great job of capturing the essence of Yoda. Like, I felt like that's Yoda. Which is a big deal with, I think, this series is, like, there's a familiarity that a lot of people are going to be bringing going into this, like, oh, like, this is the Yoda I know from the movies, like, the live-action movies. Well, and I think that they did a great job of capturing, like, the Yoda that...
Yes, that we love.
I guess, I'll address this now. There's a lot of baggage coming into this because this is coming post... the prequels coming out. So this is
right.
All
it's so weird because we're talking about this in chronological order regarding Star Wars, but in the real world, this is coming out 3 full years after everyone was, you know, ultimately disappointed by the prequel trilogy.
Yeah.
There's no real other way to put it.
And so people were approaching this, and I approached it where it's like, I really didn't have an interest in this because it was just bringing back a sore spot from trying to watch the prequels because this is all heavy prequel material. And so them trying to figure out the best way. Yeah, it's basically them doing damage control but doing it in a way that's effective storytelling. And I can respect it now that how hard that was.
I agree. And I think we will see that over and over again. That is what the Clone Wars 2008 series is. And it's masterful because they are unfortunately doing damage control and trying to tell stories at the exact same time.
Yeah.
And that's very challenging.
That's quite
I'm
the
sure.
task.
I've never been put in that situation, but I would imagine that's true. So we kind of hinted at this, but basically the bulk of this episode is Yoda and these three soldiers trapped in this cave. He talks to them and trains them. Mm-hmm. One of the quotes he says that I really liked was that weapons do not win battles, which I think is actually true.
Yes.
And that's really... an awesome quote for a children's television series.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I loved it. There's a lot of depth to it. You feel the gravity around these characters, and that's where the storytelling is very successful, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
What ultimately happens is that Yoda and his team, they use the tactics, the changed worldview that Yoda has bestowed upon them because he's such a good teacher.
He gives them individuality, or he makes them realize that they're more individuals than they realize.
He makes them realize that they were already more individualized, which is a really cool ramification for canon purposes about us talking about the clones, because it does mean that they each have their own personality, which means that Star Wars as a universe does believe in the nature versus nurture conversation and an argument, which is pretty cool.
Late random who that droid question. Who are the three clones?
It's Reese,
Jack,
and it's one with a T.
I forget the last one. Reese, Jack.
Do you know his name?
And
It's Reese, Jack, and Tyr. Is it Tyr?
Tyson. I think Tyr.
I think it's Tyr.
That sounds
I think
right.
It's Tyr.
Yeah.
But yeah, they each have their own individuality, and there's ramifications from a worldview of the Star Wars universe. Mm-hmm. The implication is that personality is a thing, and that nurture changes who you are. Because if these are all clones, yeah. If there was no, it could have answered the nature versus nurture argument with just it's all science, and it did not. And I guess that's an important thing to mention.
Well, Yoda says that each the Force affects people differently. And
exactly.
So I'm sure it'll come up later. Possibly clones, maybe experiencing moments with the Force or not. Some having a different reaction.
See,
to
See, I've always had this big thing. I don't know that I've mentioned this on the podcast before, but if midichlorians have to be canon, and they are, then I think it would be really cool to see a story where some scientist finds a way to harvest midichlorians out of Jedi's blood and inject it into people and make super soldiers that are Force users because they have midichlorians pumping through their brains.
That sounds like a really good bad guy story. You know what I mean?
It'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like it would be like certain white blood cells or something in your body. If it's the wrong donor,
but you're basically
then it
making
work.
Captain America, only he's a Jedi. You're just pumping him. Like, you get the best assassin in the galaxy.
Captain Tatooine.
And you shove the Force into him, and now he can use Sith lightning and crap. I think it'd be awesome. So, yeah, the good guys win. And what ends up happening is the Toydarians end up joining the Republic rather than Trade Federation, which is good for their ultimate goal. And everybody celebrates. I would say that, in general, I thought that the score of this was a little bit closer to the live-action scores. Remember the last time we talked about there's some weird electric guitar and some stuff like that in the 2008 Clone Wars films that gives it sort of a Linkin Park vibe.
That film is definitely finding its footing where they take it next with this series.
Yeah, it's strange to me that the series feels a little bit more arrived and digested than the film did, even though I'm sure the film cost a lot more money.
I have to bring up the beginning of the episode. Let's take it back to when we were discussing the cheesiness of the title Attack of the Clones. Attack of the Clones!
Attack of the Clones with Steve McQueen.
And it's like the same, like, whenever like the episode started, there's like this cheesy voice, like, the separatist and the...
Yeah, you gotta get used to that. That's literally how every episode starts.
I don't
the war on parade today.
Yeah, it is. It's trying to emulate like a late 30s, early 40s. When you would go to the movies and they would tell you what the news is, like a war broadcast.
I understand
like a new
why.
Roger Rabbit.
I understand the purpose is like because this is a children's show. Because
it would be the crawl, and instead it's a voiceover.
Well, it's going off of Lucas's desire
and his obsession with World War II.
World War II and Flash Gordon. So,
yeah.
That's something that the
you don't have to like it, but I'm telling you to brace yourself because literally every episode
cheesiness kind of threw me off. I'm sure I'll get used to it, but that cheesiness kind of
not
was
necessarily.
Like,
that's the thing. I had the bad luck of seeing a lot of bad episodes like randomly instead, where it's like a Jar Jar. A C-3PO episode kind of thing. Where
I think the C-3PO episode's the worst one of the whole. I like it even less than the Jar Jar episode. There's one that's like all about C-3PO and it's so boring.
Oh God.
Yeah. And so
we'll get there.
I'm really not.
So that's not to say that in the course of them trying
listeners,
to do damage
keep
control.
Keep in mind Emmy's response right now on the day that we do that episode. And we're like, Emmy was sick today. You'll be like. No, go back.
You'll hear me
talking about when they talk about ambush. She said,
"I'm not looking forward to that."
Yeah, definitely. In the course of them doing damage control, they may have damaged a few walls we weren't expecting. But.
Yes. Well, so do you guys have any last comments on the episode before we move on to our review portion? I just want to say that from an art standpoint, the moon that it all takes place on was supposed to look like a drained ocean. So they
the
kept referring to
reef.
It as the coral moon, and it does look like a coral reef, which is really cool and a really awesome, beautiful moment that you might notice is there's a scene where the troops are walking through with Yoda, and there are little beams of light that are just kind of piercing through the coral, and I think that's really gorgeous, and I really like
the blue and the purple aesthetic of it
and
all.
Then, yes, and then also there's this weird space bird thing that lands on Yoda, and from a sound design perspective, that was actually the audio of a cat looking out the window, hissing, kind of clicking.
Clacking.
I don't know what you call it, but birds or cats do it
chattering.
When they see birds. Chattering is a good word.
Yeah, they do that when
they
see
like,
a bird. There's a bunch of different thoughts about like why they do that too. It's like thought that they're like preparing to take feathers off.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I know. It's like pretty dark, but I don't know if that's for real.
Cat
it happened all the time. If my reflection on my phone hit had a, like the sun bounced off of my phone and like it
Your
hit a
cat
wall.
Would just be like.
Yeah. Both of my roommates' cats like, would just go.
That's kind of what it is. It's just this is weird. That's a fun part of the episode.
Yeah, I like that. So, all right, well, let's move on to the review portion of Ambush by Colin. Well, should we review every episode, or should we just do seasons?
I feel like we should do seasons.
All right, we'll just do seasons. I already had one ready, so I'm just going to go. I would rate this an Ewok because I feel like it's going to annoy some people because of how cutesy it is, but then ultimately I like it, and I think Star Wars Canon's better because it exists.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, on a scale from
I'm
red to
I'm giving this episode an Ewok.
That's a great rating.
But I think, okay, so moving forward, we just decided this life we should be more organized, but we're going to review each season instead. How about that?
Yes.
Okay, so we'll review season one when we get to the end of season one, but for now, let it be known, it's now Steamboat Wookiee Canon that I reviewed Ambush as an Ewok.
Fine. On a scale of red lightsaber to blue lightsaber.
It's orange.
Yeah.
It's orange.
No, it's on a scale of, I forgot to say that, didn't I? From Jar Jar Binks to Han Solo is usually our cool scale.
Yeah.
So I'll give it an Ewok, which is...
our system's very disorganized.
It's
today.
Very disorganized.
I'm just saying, for smaller episodes, just have like a color spectrum of lightsaber and just.
Well, that's kind of.
We might
nice.
Have to develop that, but then the problem is like, what color is cooler? I mean, we all know that orange is the best color.
I'm going Roy G. Biv. If we're gonna go with that. Yeah.
Okay.
Like rainbow lights.
You like the light spectrum so much, it drives me crazy. You're just always like, oh, the light spectrum.
Oh, I'm sorry. Not everyone can like shiny light things and. Chatter with
That's
our
what
jaws.
What happens when you get an artist on the podcast?
Right on. So that's that. We'll be back very soon. Probably the next time that we'll be back, we'll be talking about Rogue One. Actually, now that I'm thinking about
we
it,
might be.
That's sexy. I like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just Rogue the thought One. Of that.
All right.
Well, I'm sorry. I have to do something.
Oh yeah. What? Go on a date by yourself to go see Moana again?
At least I know how to treat myself.
You're a cheater. You're a cheater. All right, well, so there you go. That has been our review of Ambush, the first episode of Clone Wars. Check it out on Netflix, not because we're sponsored, but because it's convenient and we like you. As always, I'm Ben Wendt.
I'm Chaz Kaufman.
And I'm Emmy Panzeca.
May the Force be with you.